Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Welcome to Elevated Places on January 1st, 2015. What a blessing to be alive in this day and time and to be standing at the edge of a new world order. And there's nothing in our way but us. We've got a wonderful, wonderful program this evening for all the beautiful listeners and callers of Elevated Places. I just want to take this moment to thank each and every one of you for the incredible support that you have shown over the past 4 years. 2015 will actually, in August, we will celebrate the 5th anniversary of Elevated Places on Blog Talk Radio. And it wouldn't have been possible without the listeners and callers and those who log in. And, of course, very special thanks to the Elevated Places team who make sure that we are on the air every Thursday evening and has been responsible the last 3 years for the on-location Elevated Places at Savior's Day that has grown so much in popularity. And since we are not going to have Savior's Day on a national level in Chicago, we're going to be making some adjustments this year, but we haven't given up on this being a national on-site broadcast. But I want to thank the Elevated Places team, and that includes my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, my Elevated Places contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, our screener and engagement person who sets up all the engagements. She's really the person that makes this show not sink into chaos, keeps it afloat by her wonderful handling, both of guests and the board. It takes both science and artistic talent to do that. You can always tell when she's not here because I sound crazy. But I'm talking about none other than Sister Rona Muhammad, and also over the years, Brother Bobby, Sister LaDonna, who really is an incredible IT specialist. We are now, of course, live on WVON Radio, broadcast radio here in Chicago, and Brother Ashad Muhammad, my co-host, as well as his beautiful wife, Sister Valerie, who assists there, the sound engineer from WVON, Brother Malcolm, and others are just, I'm just so grateful and excited that we're all still working together and looking forward to a profound new year. I have the January 6, 2015 issue of The Final Call in front of me. At the very top above the banner, Blessed Are the Peacemakers, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we're going to talk about that. And a very, very thought-provoking headline story, cover story, with a question mark, America's domestic terrorists. The real threat, it reads, to the United States isn't coming from overseas, but angry and armed white males within her own borders, and law enforcement is worried. So this is a very powerful issue. I can't think of a better way to start the year off than we're going to be doing tonight, and that is taking to the skies. If we are going to have an independent nation, if we are going to call for a separate state or territory, among other things, we better start thinking about transportation, ground, water, and air. And we are so blessed that Allah has given us in the Nation of Islam brothers and sisters who are scientists, who are experts in everything that we need. And so you're going to be pleasantly surprised, many of you, to find out that we have a group of highly skilled professionals who are in the field of aviation, and they are desirous of introducing this as a career to our young children. I mean, it's open for all of us, but essentially our babies. We have to start recognizing the reality of independence. And I can't think of anything better than the freedom to take to the skies. So shortly, we're going to be talking to some very special guests who are part of the family, but guests in terms of introducing us to this phenomenon on Elevated Places tonight. So we're going to start out 2015 the way we ended 2014 with Brother Terrence. And I do want to say a special thanks to you, Brother Terrence, as well as Dr. Ridgely, for handling the program last week, because our listeners and callers are accustomed to a live show. And I was in Louisiana speaking in, I think, well, that day was a travel day. That was the day I flew in on the 25th. Right. So I was in airport mode, because it takes two flights on Delta to get down there to New Orleans. And I'll talk about that a little bit, too. That was incredible. Baton Rouge in New Orleans, Louisiana. So, Brother Terrence, I'm going to turn this over to you to introduce us to 2015. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And, you know, we want to thank, we thank you, Dr. Ava, for allowing us to have the platform to continue on this wonderful, powerful show of Ask Dr. Ava. But really, it was not me and Dr. Ridgely. It was the power and the callers that called in that drove the call. Because the callers, when they called in, me and Dr. Ridgely would have been twiddling our thumbs. So we thank the callers for everything that they do. So I'm going to try to run through this. I have some things I want to mention from 2014, and all of the things that can possibly be mentioned I cannot get to. We don't have time, and I just didn't write them all down. But we do want to take some moments, and we do want to make sure that remember those that are still here with us in 2015 and those that did not make it into 2015. I don't necessarily, me personally, we know it's a calendar year, but new year for me is in the spring with new life. But we have new energy here in 2015. But we want to make sure to remember Mike Brown, Eric Garner, Tamara Rice, Maya Angelou, Brother Ben Amin, Mayor Marion Barry, Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, Chokwela Alumba, I always get his name messed up. Sister LaDonna's father, Sister LaDonna's father, and our brother in Grand Rapids, Brother Robert, all of these monumental people that has transitioned, and like I said, there's many, many more that have transitioned. But we just want to make sure that we remember and uplift some of those names. So let me go through 2014, and I had a little help with a rapper called Mad Skills. He always does a year-end review. And lets me, reminds me of certain things. But we want to thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for he allowed me for the first time and others to go out of the country for the first time. A lot of people never had their passports, but we follow the minister wherever he goes, and we went to Jamaica for the Holy Day of Atonement. We also remember last year Ebola was in the news. We also remember ISIS was in the news. We remember the slogan "Save Our Girls" was in the news. We do remember the NBA, Donald Sterling's. We remember the White House being an unsafe White House. We do remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the home of Black Bottom Detroit for Savior's Day, as well as back in May when he played the violin, and he stood so gracefully on his feet and played the violin while he had just injured himself, and he stood there and did a wonderful performance in the Charles H. Wright Museum in May. And we also remember Jay Electronica and Jay-Z on the same stage and everything with hip-hop. We remember the missing planes that so mysteriously have been missing. We remember the polar vortex that shut down Atlanta. We remember the crazy ice bucket challenges. We also remember the gas prices that dropped and the legalization of marijuana. We also remember Black Lives Matter, Hands Up, Don't Shoot. We remember Bill Cosby. And we also remember books by Dr. Ava, Brother Burvey, and our own Dr. Ridgely that came out. And do we also remember a cry that some people say, P.O.P., Mama, I love you. And we remember this wonderful frog that stuck his finger up and said, none of this is my business. And for those on social media, you will understand those last two. But as I wrap up, we know that this is the last day of Kwanzaa today, and we always say Abari Gani, what's the news? And today's Kwanzaa principle is Imani, which is faith. And it is that which I want to just close out on, Dr. Ava, because myself and you did not talk about what was going to be on the show tonight. And this is very, very significant. So tonight there's a group called the Greensboro Kwanzaa Collective, and one of the organizer, Mama J, her daughter, her name is Imani, and she named her Imani because she was born today on January the 1st, and so her name is Imani. And on this past Tuesday, she presented at Kwanzaa and let everybody know that she wanted to fly, and she loved the feeling of flying. She's been in a plane, and she wanted to fly. And immediately at night, I came up to the microphone and hugged this sister and told her that we as an African village, we as a people, when our children aspire to be something, we should help them to go into and to follow their dreams. And she is a senior in high school, a 4.0 student. So the beauty of this conversation tonight, Dr. Ava, immediately I text two brothers, and one is going to be our guest tonight. And I didn't know that he was even coming on tonight. I had no clue before this happened. But I called Brother Donald from Houston and Brother Jamal, who are two licensed pilots, and both of them immediately said they would speak to the sister. And both of them called her the next day on Wednesday morning and talked to her about their experience, about being a pilot and what they made and what they did and the sacrifice. And I just thanked them. And Brother Donald reminded me, everything that we need is in the Nation of Islam for our people. Meaning, if you need a pilot, we have those. If you need a lawyer, we got those. You need a doctor, naturopathic, or the other kind, we got those. Whatever you need, we have it. And I didn't have to go nowhere but to call within the ranks to find someone to talk to this young lady about her aspirations, her dreams. So I'm honored to be on this show tonight with one of the guests that helped me out just a day ago about being in flight.
Well, that's incredible, and I'm on that note, I'm going to actually start out with Brother Donald because I've got word that he's actually stepped away from his work. He's actually at work and is taking time to join us on break and doesn't have much time, and we've got to hear from this brother. So we're gonna open up to the panelists, and I want to get to Brother Donald. I'm so glad you told that narrative because it attested the character, and Brother Donald has a very impressive resume, or I should say CV, and background. He, along with Sister Kai, Sister Celestine, who, while I was in Detroit, approached me and enlightened me to the Aviation in the Nation team. And everybody, I had the moment to share, like, you're excited. This is so exciting. I just flew down to New Orleans and back, and so, you know, it just reminded me, as a passenger on these planes, just what the level of genius that's required in this field. And Brother Donald, I'm just going to quickly give some of his bio. His passion for aviation began at a very young age. He grew up near a naval base in New Orleans, Louisiana, before moving to Houston at the age of 12. He joined the nation in 1992. He was only in high school at the time, 17. He registered at 18 years old, and he's been married to his wife for over 21 years. He took his first flight lesson September of 1994, while he worked on his degree in aviation management at Texas Southern University, graduated with his Bachelor of Science in 1999, and completed his flight training at Western Michigan University Professional Pilot Program in 2002. He earned his first flying job in 2002 as well, flying both single and multi-engine piston airplanes, while also working in the dispatch office. His first full-time job as a pilot was 2004 at Continental Express, and I think he'll tell me, is that how to pronounce that, Embraer? I don't know if this is spelled, because I've seen these planes, but Embraer 145. He accepted an offer in 2006 to join Continental Airlines, now merged with United. He flies currently the Boeing 787 for United Airlines. He has over 6,000 hours of flight experience in several different aircraft, and he is type rated in 5 different commercial jets. So, once again, Brother Clarence, bear witness, we got it all. Brother Donald Muhammad, thank you so much for coming on Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava. How are you?
I am wonderful, sir. Just want to, I know you've got a time schedule and time is tight, but as a commercial airline pilot, if you could, and we've got lots and lots and lots of callers. In fact, our call line is almost filled. Our login source is still available. But if you could just talk to us briefly about the need, first of all, for black people to go into the field of aviation, and then your own personal perspective and the experience you've had, what it is meant to fly commercial jets.
Well, for me, I'll start with what it meant for me. It's always been a passion of mine, flying airplanes. And when I accepted teaching about Elijah Muhammad in 1992, I was talking with a brother, one of my lieutenants, and he showed me a book, and we saw that we had airplanes, and immediately said, that's what I want to do for my nation. And that was it. And that was my goal, and that was my passion since I first joined the Mosque. And so that was my singular focus, my focus. I didn't want to do anything else except fly airplanes. So that's always been my passion. So I would say to anyone who's interested in aviation, you have to first develop a love and a passion for it, because it's an emotional decision. And the love for it, it'll get you through the hard times, because there's going to be some hard times. I was telling the sister, Imani, yesterday about some of the difficulties you're going to encounter.
Can give us some of the difficulties, because even now in 2015, black pilots are rare. I have flown quite a bit over the years, and it's very rare to encounter black pilots, especially in U.S. airlines.
It is rare. We always joke that we all know each other. We're only one or two people removed from knowing the other black pilot. It's rare and it's underrepresented. And I encourage a lot of people to get into it, so I don't get stared at as much when I go through the airport. And what's interesting, even in Africa, walking through the airport, I get the thumbs up. And my wife and I, we call it the Obama look, where black, older black people look at you with that proud face. And I'm thinking, I'm in Africa. You've seen black pilots before. But I still get it over there. So there's definitely a need. There's definitely a need, because if you look at the number of black people that fly, and outside of the cabin, we're just not represented in the cockpit. And of course, right. Airlines they won't give you a figure or a number, so you see how gross it is. But we're not, as far as number, we're not represented in the cockpit.
Yes, sir.
But that's why we're doing Aviation in the Nation, not just to expose our children, to let them know the possibilities, but all children, that anything is possible.
Yeah.
And especially
children
in the nation, especially our children in the mind. Because I was 17 when I accepted, and I got married when I was 18. Still married, coming up on my 22nd anniversary.
That's so beautiful.
And I wasn't a part-time soldier. I wasn't come around here and there. I was there. I am active. So you can do this. That's not an excuse. You can be a part of the mission, because it's not, it's for you. And it can only benefit you to submit yourself to this. And it's not hard to live this lifestyle, like Donald Winslow Farrakhan said. It's not impossible. It's difficult, but it's not impossible.
It's interesting, because I think Brother Harry Muhammad he's from the West Coast, from California. Piloted commercial jets.
Yes,
but I love what you're saying, Brother Donald, because when I told Dr. Ridgely about Sister Celestine and the team, and that you all were coming on, he was just overjoyed, because we were talking about the fact that not only are you opening up the minds of our young people to the need for us to be self-sufficient in air transportation, but it makes us focus more on the whole reality of separation. That,
right.
You know, self-independence means the ability to do everything for yourself. And I had said to him, you know, I don't mind having to negotiate with Delta, United, American, but we shouldn't be doing that from the ground. We should have our own airline and say, okay, let's talk about partnership, not can we get a ride, and we got a separate state or territory of our own. So this is very, very critical for us. Sister Celestine and Sister Kai are also on. Sister Celestine, you came to me in Detroit.
Yes, ma'am. That's all right.
Wow, Lake of Salaam, man. And you told me about Aviation in the Nation program and the team, and what you all have been doing, and what your desire is for 2015 and moving forward. If you could share that with us. And then I'd like to talk to Sister Kai briefly and open up the lines. Hopefully we can keep Brother Donald on enough to just take one or two questions at least, because boy, it's lit.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Before I begin, I would like to extend greetings from Brother Jamal, who sincerely apologized that he wasn't able to join us this evening, because he really did.
Yes.
We send you and the team the greetings of Assalamu alaikum.
Wow.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you ever so much for having us on the show. We really, really have been excited all the way up to this evening. And as I was talking to you in Detroit, that the aim for Aviation in the Nation, it started off with me and Sister Kai being at the martial arts conference that Brother Anthony Muhammad has every year, and Brother Donald and Brother Jamal was presenting. And the last thing that they said before they finished their presentation was that they would come to any NUI who invited them, and that we would just be giving them the date and let them know, you know, what time we would be there, what kind of program that they will have, and they'll be happy to do it. And they would do it free of charge. They will come. Free of charge. There would not be any cost to any of the NUIs, because they wanted to, you know, engage with the children and let them know, hello, we are pilots and we are here. Me and Sister Kai, we were at separate ends of the room, and at the end of the conference, we actually met up at brother with Brother Jamal and Brother Donald at the same time, and we asked them, you know, are you really serious about coming down to the MUI? We'd like to invite you. They gave us the telephone numbers and the email addresses, and at the point, they was, like, making jokes, like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're called, inshallah. You know, me and Sakai, we looked at each other like, are they serious? Are they don't think we're going to call them? So we said, okay, we're going to get in contact with you. And they was like, yeah, okay, you know. And it was like, okay. So me and Kai, when we got back to Detroit, a couple of weeks later, we said, okay, let's give Brother Donald and Brother Jamal a call and find out when they're available. So we actually wanted to get in on a conference call, and we was asking them, you know, these are the dates we were thinking of. We had one at the end of July and the beginning of August. You know, which one works best for you? And they was like, oh, okay. All right, we really thought you wasn't going to call. So we were like, no, we're calling. These are the dates.
Yes, ma'am.
You know?
Yes, ma'am.
They finally did. We finalized the dates. And it was a three-day activity that we did, or I said three-day event that we did, a program. So the first day, which was a Friday, they did a presentation of their job, what aviation means, how the, you know, just the whole aspect of their jobs. And the children were so excited about it. You know, they was really enthusiastic about it. They were. They just had such a ball. And, you know, and we also had the flight simulator that they brought with them. Brother Jamal brought the flight simulators with them so that the children can actually feel what it's like to do a takeoff on a plane, to fly it, how soft and gentle you have to be, you know, when you're controlling the plane. And, I mean, when I said loved it, it wasn't just the children, by the way. It was the adults as well. And Brother David Jefferson, it was beautiful. We also had TV Airman.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Alexander Jefferson there as well. So he gave us his history in regards to flying as a Tuskegee Airman and what that entitled and what he was doing. And, you know, that accumulated up until us going to the museum on Saturday for the National Tuskegee Museum here in Detroit. And everyone had to we actually got this yellow bus, which was great for the school bus. All the children were on it, Brother Donald and Brother Jamal. Was like, okay, yes, I'm going to call you up, Brother Donald. They were like, well, we'll drive down. So Kai was like, no, you have to get on the bus. I was like, no, we'll drive. We're like, no, you have to get on the bus. It's part of the experience.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, after that, one of the children, what's my brother's name? Sarah Jeremiah, he said at the end to his mom, he was like, mommy, I sat with the pilot. He sat with me on the bus. Oh, my God, that was so cool. He was actually on the bus with me. And it was good because they got to, you know, wasn't just the pilot standing there speaking to them and saying, this is what we do, this is how we do it. It was actually interacting with them, and they got to see the pilot as a real person, not just someone standing there as an adult talking to them.
Exactly.
You know, oh,
yes, ma'am.
Just talking.
Well, I'm feeling, I'm moving us quickly because I know Brother Donald
yes,
has
ma'am.
To get off. And so, Sister Kai, you're on the line with us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. And now you're also, you, along with Sister Celestine, you're co-founder of Aviation in the Nation, along, of course, with Brother Donald and Brother Jamal. And you also are an events coordinator for MUI, and so you instruct at MUI in Detroit, and so you were, of course, a key person in this. And so if you want to tell us briefly, and then I'm going to open up the lines for questioning, about your role in this incredible effort.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'll be glad to. First, assalamu alaikum to the family. And again, thank you, Dr. Minister Ava and your team for having
yes.
us on.
Sure.
Get this wonderful program out to our abroad nation. So thank you for that.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Sister Kai, yeah. I've been a member of the Nation of Islam for about five years now. And it turns out that I have a niche for getting things to babies to getting our lessons, our wisdom, our knowledge to babies, and making it in a really simple form so that they can understand it. And in noticing this and developing this, I come up with educational, explorational events for them to do to help focus in or hone in on their mathematics skills, their scientific skills, you know, and things of that nature. So when I heard the brother speaking, all I really wanted was for my son to be in front of black pilots. In the beginning, that was wholeheartedly, that
yes,
was his decision. They must see these black men.
Yes.
They must see these black men. And from that joy, because I truly believe in want for your brother and sister what you want for yourself, I said, well, wow, if they're going to come to the school, we can put on a whole program, and the youth of the city of Detroit can benefit from this. So with that said, and as Sister Celestine said laughingly, the brothers, they were blowing us off. They were like, whatever. Yeah, okay, it's going to happen. So as we developed a program, and I asked, I said, well, how many days should we do this? They were like, well, you know, whatever you think. I said, well, we need you for 3 days. We're going to go to the museum. I'm going to have a local Tuskegee Airman come in. We're going to have flight simulators, so we're going to have dinner with you all. How does that sound, 3 days? They were like, 3 days? Yes, 3 days. 3 days to be with the babies, to go over the historical significance of aviation, our role as a nation of Islam in aviation, and as well as the Tuskegee Airmen, for all around. And if you think about it from an educational standpoint, for curriculum, and this is how I see things, curriculum based, we hit math, we hit science, we hit history, astrology, all within this 3-day conference. And the babies, they socialize on a high level manner. Like, for real, you're going to fly a plane and then land a plane? And we took them actually out to fly at the city airport here in the city of Detroit. I had 32 students. Well, we had 32 students who have never flown before actually take flight with the pilots of the Nation of Islam, and they were there, you know, on post. I'm going to tell you this, because they were doing they were doing checks while the babies were going up and everything at the flights as the planes landed. They came down and checked the planes. As the babies went off, they sent every child off. So 32 students, the two pilots, sent them off and made sure that they land safely and greeted them at the plane when they landed.
Yes, ma'am.
And in doing so, after with the EAA, after that flight, there are 32 babies here in the city of Detroit who are now able to register with the FAA to begin their lessons so that they can begin to go to flight school. So from this, my passion is education. More than that, my passion is the love of children. So it's a perfect way for me to couple all of my passions together with aviation in the nation.
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam. And of course, we're going to talk about this throughout this program. I want to open up the lines, because before Brother Donald has to leave us, I want to be able to take some of the callers who might have questions for him. We've got Brother Hoyle is on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hoyle.
Wa alaikum salam, and happy
you
new year
alive,
to all the
you are alive, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, and happy new year to all the guests. And
thank
I just
you,
want to
sir.
Say how proud I am of brothers. I have a brother that's a Marine pilot, and I congratulate the brother. He's Lieutenant Colonel, and he flies in Pensacola. He flies, that's one of my youngest of my twin brothers. And I just want to thank the brothers and sisters for, you know, inspiring the babies to do that, because that's what we're going to have to do to get a nation. I know one of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's. I know Sultan's father was a pilot with Sister Abel. Brother Sultan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a pilot.
Imam Sultan.
Imam Sultan, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
He was... That's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's grandson. He passed away at an early age, but he was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's pilot, his personal
right,
pilot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right.
So, you know, in time, you know, I just pray for my brother. You know, I just keep the positive thought that he'll be one of the pilots, too, in the nation to help train the babies. So, you know, he'll probably be retiring pretty soon. So he flies the big wigs back and forth. You know, he comes into the National Guard base. It's a pilot here. I don't know if the brothers heard of Tony Holder. He's a black pilot with FedEx, and I think he has connection with the Tuskegee Airmen. His name is Tony Holder. He's a black pilot with Federal Express. I don't know if the brothers heard of him, but he's here in Memphis. He does a lot of stuff trying to get black pilots, too. But I want to congratulate the brothers in, like I said, Aviation for the Nation. We can get our own airline going. And thank you, and may Allah bless you all in your efforts. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. And what we really want to get across tonight is we want you all to know that Aviation the Nation is available to come to your city and do the presentation and all those incredible things that Sister Kai was describing. And, of course, we need that right here in Chicago. But this is phenomenal. And as you said, Brother Donald, not only in the nation, but we want our children exposed because, believe me, it is an epiphany for so many people. They just never give thought to air travel. And so if little children don't fly, why would it come to their mind that this is a field, not only as a pilot, but as a mechanic, design aircraft? There's a whole spectrum of things that will bring one into the industry to help satisfy their love for flying. Did I hear you? Is that you, Brother Terrence? Yes, sir.
Yeah,
that
was I just wanted to jump. Oh. No, I just wanted to jump in there just to say, Dr. Avon, before Dr. Ray has this question, that one of the things I know, I'm not sure about Sister Kai, I know she's a believer, but I know Sister Celestine and Brother Donald, and the fascinating thing about that is that they are real soldiers within the ranks. They're not just sit off to the side, and they are professional, they are real soldiers, and they have a lot of other qualities that I won't mention, but they are very astute. But the beauty of what we're presenting, not only just to the nation but to the world, is that we're not just these brothers that, you know, nobody wants and they just came off the streets and came into the nation and we have rehabilitated. These are people with actual skills, very much so learned, very much astute. So they have the skills. So this is not just some quote-unquote random quote-unquote people that come in the nation. They have real skills that our children can see. This is the stuff that you can do and still be in the mind, still be a lead believer, and still believe
you're
just bringing your skills and just building this a real nation.
That's right. Dr. Ridgely, you had a question you were mentioning for Brother Donald.
Yes, I was fascinated into as to what he took up in school, in college, concerned that he wanted to be a pilot. You know, why did you go that direction, Brother Don?
What did I choose aviation?
No, why did you, the actual degree that you chose, it wasn't flying. It was another degree.
Well, I went to Texas Southern, and they didn't have a flying degree. It was aviation management. So that's why I went to TSU.
Now, does that aviation management help you in understanding better how to go to the next step in terms of flying?
It did. It was a huge step for me because then at Texas Southern, I met my mentor. He's a retired captain, Roscoe Edwards, and he mentored me, still mentored me in my aviation career. So that, you know, Allah guides your footsteps, and that was where he sent me. I joke with people, and they say, why TSU? And I say, because they had open admission, and it wasn't an SAT requirement. But there was a reason. I couldn't have gotten to Georgetown today. That's why my footsteps were guided to going to Texas Southern, because that's where I met him. And through that management program, had one of the strictest teachers, extremely strict. And under his guidance, it taught me how to study. It taught me how to be organized. You know, it taught me how to manage my time. So by the time I got to flight school, it was easy.
Wow.
It was easy. And that's part of the sacrifice I was talking to Sister the other day about, because remember in college, my wife and I, we paid our own way through college. And then got married in 93, 94. We had a son. So I would take my son to class with me.
Wow.
Wow. You know, during savings days, when our schools were closed, our schools were closed. He went to York University before it was MUI. He would sit in my history class with me, and I'd come take him to class because I didn't have a babysitter. So I'm like, hey, son, we go into class. And actually, Dr. Avery, he was speaking at Southern last weekend. In Baton Rouge, he went. He was there.
Oh, my God.
Yes, ma'am. So that's why I chose Texas.
Well, I got a meeting.
And one last thing, you know, Sister Kai, let's see. The reason why we felt like, yeah,
uh-oh,
sure, because we get invited to public schools a lot. We get invited to public schools a lot, and we tell them, all the directors of the MUI, when are you going to invite us to our school?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, come on.
I'm so serious. When are you going to invite us? Because, like, you see us all the time. So I'm like, that's just Brother Jamal. We see you. But when are you going to invite us? So we always say, oh, we want you to come. And so we wasn't blowing Sister Kai and Sister Celestine off, but we were like, yes, ma'am. We were polite.
Yep, we've been there, done that, right?
Right. Yes, ma'am, okay. But then after the conversation we had with Brother Jamal and I called each other, he's like, no, but these sisters are serious. Then we got excited. So then they were like, well, what do you need? Do you need us to pick you up? You need such and such of his sister? Just feed him. That's it. Honorable Miss Lewis Parkin doesn't charge for his time. And we've seen what he paid for and the sacrifices he makes to reach our people and the youth. So going by his example, we didn't charge, and we don't charge a dime. I just like them all the pieces. Mm-hmm. That's it. A nice bowl of bean soup is fine with me.
I hope the callers are making notes because this needs to be going on, and we need to get Brother Donald in trouble because he's going to be so busy teaching our children. Where is he? What happened to him? You know, they'll be
not
sitting
real.
There waiting for the plane to push back. And there's no, because it's funny. When we flew out of to New Orleans last week, our second leg from Atlanta, it was a 757-200, and we're sitting there, and we were blessed to get upgraded to first, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden here comes the pilot. I was wondering why we were waiting, you know, and we walked by my husband said, wow, man, I'm glad you could make it. You know?
Yep.
I just think it is so exhilarating. I'm a fearful flyer, but I'm exhilarated by the power, you know, of being able to leave the ground. And one minute you're in Chicago, and a couple of hours later, you're down in the Gulf of Mexico. To me, that is awesome. You know, and so we've got to, what I'm sitting here thinking about, Brother Terrence, is that Tuesday webcast, you know, the believers gathering, because we've been talking about making those more meaningful. We've been talking about that here. And see, this is something that, this is a must-see presentation, you know.
Right.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry, somebody was trying to talk, because I'm off the
grid. Oh, no,
head.
I was bearing witness.
Yes. Yes, sir. So I'm going to go back to the phones. We got Sister Nisi calling out of San Francisco. Let me get her mic open, if it will.
Assalamualaikum. Waalaikumsalam, Dr. Ava. Ooh,
yes,
dear, wonderful panel. This call is so exciting for me. My father flew for American Airlines in the 70s. And I can remember being a little girl, and my dad came out of the Air Force. He was a bus driver. And he had a heart and just a desire to be a pilot. Well, that was unheard of for a black man in the early 70s. And quite frankly, my mother, literally, she did not understand it. But my father, he went, and he pursued it, and he flew for American Airlines until sometime in the 2000s. Then he had the mandatory retirement, I guess, at 55. But then he became an instructor of pilots when they moved their hub down to Texas. So I can remember as a little girl, he would have these manuals that were 2-3 inches thick. Mm-hmm. And I used to go live with him in the summers, and he'd be like, okay, hon, I got to study for these tests. I think it was like once or twice a year, mandatory. And he'd have like these three manuals, and I think the type was like eight points. And I would look in them, and it just was so inspiring as a young girl watching my dad. Mm-hmm. And he'd be reading these things and talking about it like it was 1 + 2. But it was the level of what it just put inside me as a little girl for reading, for school, for studying, because
yes, learning.
I watched my father do. So with Brother Donald, I believe, is on the call.
Yes.
My question for a black man, maybe now, I don't even know if it's really different, but I know these white people, they put my father, but my father, he's a rock. I mean, he's born in St. Louis and been through whatever, so they really couldn't budge him. But in terms of that it's almost like, what's that, desegregating the military for the black man in piloting, and then we start talking about the black woman. You know, so how do we deal with, you know, how that aspect of support and continuing to fight until we do have our own set up?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, we just, brother, I think Brother Dom had to go because he had about, you say, oh, praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir, go right ahead.
Well, what I did, sister, is get around like-minded people, because it was hard on the brothers back then. It was extremely hard, and a lot of the testing and flight tests are subjective, so if they didn't want you there, you wouldn't be there. But to overcome white supremacy, you beat it with black excellence, and not to try to prove anything to anybody else. It just annoys me to say that, oh, you have to be better because. No, you are the best and the brightest, period. That's the way Allah made you. So you have nothing to prove except to yourself. It's in you.
Right?
So I didn't feel like I had to compete with anybody. They're going to be who they are. They can't help it. That's who they are. When I was in flight school, I called it Little South Africa because all of our flight instructors were from Britain. And so they had a certain arrogance and nastiness about them where they would intimidate the rest of the students. But come on, man. I'm an FOI.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
That's right.
Come on, man.
Hey, wow.
That wasn't going to work. All praise
That's right.
That wasn't going to work. I wasn't intimidated by him, and I was there about my business, and I was there to work. So, and then being around like-minded people. And so now, as opposed to the 70s and 60s, like the brother earlier who said, I think his father who flies for FedEx, the name sounds familiar. We're only about 2 degrees from finding out who that is, because we all know each other. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, we all know each other.
Well, my father is Arthur Brassfield.
I'm sure he knows somebody I know, and we can link up. But
he's a little older, you know, but still, that's his name.
Right. But that's how we do. When Brother Jamal came through, I was already through. So now Brother Jamal had another FOI to talk to. Brother, well, how do you manage this? You know, school life, home life, God life. I didn't have anybody to talk to like that. Now somebody else can have myself and Brother Jamal to talk to. And then when they get through, so one times one times one times one. And then you create a community. I'm not the first. Brother Harry, I talked to first. And then he linked me up with Brother Jamal. And then we're going through that process. So that's how you get through. Because you can't make it through, especially in aviation, no matter who you are. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it.
Wow.
It's not impossible, but it's just like being a believer. You can't be a peninsula. You can't be an island by yourself off to be a believer. You have to be attached to the Lord.
That's right.
That's right.
Wow.
Wow.
I have to go, Sister Ava. It is an honor. My wife listens to your show all the time. I listen to. My wife listens to your show all the time. She's listening now. How you doing, sweetie?
My God.
That was like
Wow, Lakers Salam.
It was absolutely an honor being on your guest show, being on your guest tonight. And if anybody has any questions, they can contact me through Sister Celestine and Sister Kai. They can reach us through them about us, because we went to Atlanta 2 months ago, and it was great. And we're going to Phoenix at the end of the month. So, inshallah, we have Houston in June. So there's an open period in between there. Just putting it out.
Yeah, because we got to get you in Chicago so the head doesn't become the ankle. You know, and I'm thinking, I'm thinking about New York, Charlotte, okay. I mean, it's on. Absolutely,
you know,
London.
Me and my personal assistant, we travel. That's my youngest son, Sadiq. He's homeschooled, so when we go to these things, he come with me. So, we travel.
What's so incredible is, and see, whenever I hear a brother mention his wife and reference his wife the way you have, then I know I have found a treasure trove. Because, you know, it's one thing to be skilled in a field of endeavor, but the whole backbone of the nation is marriage, you know. And so when you have a couple that gets married and in their teens and 21 years later they are still together and homeschooling children, and I mean, this is nothing short of phenomenal. But see, when you're a man that will pursue that type of field, then you're not going to send your child to a cave dweller, you know.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
You know.
Come
on. And so this is awesome, and I hope we're all listening to what's being said. You know, take your child with you.
Come on.
Okay?
That's right.
Just
Come
take
on.
we make things so bizarre and crazy. You know, I can't take them to work. No, that is your work. You have to make the work fit the family.
Right.
Not the family fit the work. And trust and believe, white people who are wealthy and as Dr. Ridgey talks about, the real sheep, the real shepherd, that top 1%, you can trust and believe they are super family oriented. All of these big multinational corporations at their core, including Walmart, that's the Walton family. That's who's at
that's
the core of it. So we have to stop going for the okie doke and not allow families to disintegrate while we follow reality shows.
Thanks.
Uh oh. So we can reach Brother Donald through Sister Kai and Sister Celestine. We're going to keep on taking calls, and Brother Donald, stay with us as long as you can. Sister Kai, Sister Celestina, Celestine. We've got, I lost my, Sister Sakina is holding, and we're going to get her mic. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Yes,
sir. I mentioned Brother Harry, and that's the reason why I got on the phone, because I wanted to mention Brother Harry. He and his wife, they are good friends of mine. I work for them. Brother Harry, has a wealth of information. He also was featured at one time in the newspaper. I saw in their home where they're taking pictures and did a write-up of him and put it in the one of the newspapers in California, I believe it was. Brother Harry, did some work for the minister at one time. He's relocated now from California, he and his wife. But
yes,
Brother Harry would be one, like the brother said, he knows Brother Harry also. Brother Harry is very knowledgeable of aviation. So
yeah, I was just in a meeting with him, a meeting recently that was chaired by Minister Farrakhan, and he's also an excellent businessman.
He certainly is.
Entrepreneur. So this is the time, brothers and sisters, when you know, it's time for us to manifest who we are
and what we are, because we love to talk about Minister Farrakhan and the scientists saw him.
Come on.
25,000 years ago, and I always say, well, what do you think? You think Allah surrounded him with a bunch of idiots? if he is at the core, he's at the core. He's the central figure of the transition from one world to another. So what do you think we are? I'm talking about the registered Muslims.
Right.
We are very unique. We are the chosen. It's like Brother Donald said, we're the best, not to prove
that's
to some redneck.
That's
we're the best
right.
because Allah created us to be the best. That's why
that's
we
right.
have to achieve the best, because
right.
it's the only way we can satisfy our divine purpose, not to prove to some
that's
made
right.
creature that we're good enough to go to the toilet with them. That's not why.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank
that's the
you,
point.
Sister,
you're so welcome.
Yes,
no,
sir,
but I was saying, that's the point. No, that was the point I was making, Sister Ava, is the show, the beauty, you know, that, you know, these are not just blind worshipers or followers of Minister Farrakhan. You
that's
know,
right.
we hear the word and we move out on it, and they moved out on it. You know, he said, look, I am somebody. I am not mediocre, you know, mediocrity, you know. So black excellence, I ain't worried about you. I ain't even thinking about you. I go do what I got to do, make it happen, and this is where I am. And that's what we see across the nation.
Sure.
The minister wakens up the God within. So we don't have to follow any other God outside of the one that we are.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's where you see that black excellence come out.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, we've got Sister Lakeisha calling in. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Like, how are you?
Wonderful, and yourself?
Good. I'm with the Hot Black Coffee Party, and I just wanted to thank you for your presence, Dr. Ava, bringing all your truth and your wisdom to Louisiana. We really appreciate your presence. Like, thank you for everything.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, may Allah continue to bless you all. And I'm going to share, and thank you for that, Sister Lakeisha. You know, in Baton Rouge, thanks to Brother Louis Ali, who I call him Mr. Separation, we had a town hall meeting, and Dr. Ridgely was one of the panelists. It was absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal. Our people are ready. That's all I can say. That they are ready. And I was able to go and see today the movie Selma. About the march across the Edward Pettus Bridge,
right.
Where the it was that clash between Dr. King and the civil rights activists of the era over the right to vote, and it made me think of Ferguson. I you know, Allah is so incredible, because the timing of this film is prophetic. It's unbelievable, because you're seeing everything in 1965 that we are experiencing right now. And it makes me think of what Minister Farrakhan recently said. He said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him that truth vanquishes falsehood, but when falsehood roots itself in the minds of people so deeply that falsehood dominates the landscape, you have to get physical.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a physical war. The teaching does not work. And I saw that in that film, but that venom, that contempt, the hatred, all because a people simply wanted to exercise the right to vote. And so we are in that time of go for self. So, and we have, let's see, Brother Jalil is calling out of Detroit. Brother Jalil, you're live. Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, ma'am?
Wonderful, sir.
Thank you too a lot. I was listening when you started out. You were talking about how we have to prepare ourselves, and just it made me think about in the original rules of instruction when it says to qualify ourselves for positions awaiting us, and having the know-how to be able to go off and do, and we have a position that we can come to the table and deal with our enemy in that way, and not just, you know, yeah, we a lot came into person, but we don't have the skill or the know-how to do what it is that we're supposed to do. And so just having the level of skill, and that's one of the things that I saw when the brothers came, is they have the know-how, and it put me back to when I was in sixth grade. I took a airplane club class, and just I wanted to fly with the students at MUI, but I was too old to fly with them that day. But I wanted to get in the plane with them, and I got back excited again about this, the idea and the skill that goes behind the different areas where we all work. And so I'm graphic design, but also farming and agriculture. And so just having the skill and the know-how behind in that preparation for those positions are waiting for us, we just have to have the know-how so that we can be able to bargain with and deal and actually sit and deal with the enemy.
Mm. An excellent, excellent point. And, you know, what I'm hearing from the Aviation in the Nation team, from all of them, is passion for what they're doing. And look at the perfect storm of lovers of children, lovers of education, lovers of aviation coming together in the right place at the right time. I don't know how we cannot think Allah's hand is in all of this.
Well, you know,
because what you see forming, Dr. Ridgely, is you talked about the other day, the apprenticeships,
right?
That since time immemorial, that was really the way people were educated. This whole public school system stuff,
right,
is very new.
Right, right. Yeah, everybody had a guild system. You know, you learned from
guild,
your elders.
Guild, that's what it was. I remember studying that, and yes, the guild system.
Right, right. But, you know, it's not like Brother Donald, you know, when you come into the teaching before you go to college, you have a distinct advantage over the rest of the people in the class, because now you know what you're there for, and you're going to get everything and squeeze everything out of the system that you can, because you know what you're going to do with it. So I can really, that's why our young people, we get them early, get them trained in terms of who they are, and then we let them out into the world, gather everything from this world, and then bring it back home and build and teach it. You know, it's like everything is, an awful lot, Ms. Farrakhan said that everything is born in the dark. So we have a nation that's being born in the dark, and when the call is given and is being given now, we're going to come forth as a great body.
That's phenomenal. You know, what you just said is so powerful, because you know how we, and I quoted Juwanza Kanjufu from The Final Call in last week's issue. He was raising the question about why it is that only 1% of black people become entrepreneurs it was 1 out of 1,000. 1 out of every 1,000 of us even tries to start a business, whereas at least 100 out of every other group goes into it. So you're talking about 1% of us versus at least 10% or more. And I'm sure if you were to do the Jews, you'd probably be looking at 80%. But you know, we say to our children, become a doctor, a lawyer, okay, an architect. And if we deny the truth of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the leadership of Minister Farrakhan, we don't let our children know these are clubs,
mm-hmm,
and close-knit, closed circles. It's more than just getting the law degree. Now that you've got the degree, now that you've passed the bar, because I went through that, you know, now what? I didn't have a law firm where my uncle was the senior partner. You understand?
Right.
That's right.
okay? You go out, you get your degree as an architect, Brother Risley as an economist. You know, all of us with our degrees in teaching, in art, whatever. But see, as you're saying, Risley, the issue is, why are you going after this? And that's what
right.
the minister's been raising with the college students. I've watched the shock on their faces when he asked them what they're majoring in. And the way he responds, like, there's nobody here. Who's majoring in agriculture? Who's majoring
right.
in engineering? Everybody's in, you know, sociology and blackology and, you know.
mm-hmm.
You know,
salt fields.
Right. Advanced rap. You know. Yes.
That's cool.
So Sister Keish, Sister Kaya, and Sister Celestina, Brother Donald had to drop off, but if you all can go ahead and just add to, give us anything that you'd like to add. Believe it or not, we're down to about 20 minutes. But we'd like you to, first of all, give us the information that we need to have to get you to our cities.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Well, our email address, if you want to contact us to set up an initial call so that we can survey
okay.
your city and we'll know what's in your city and what's available, you can reach us at
okay.
aviationinthenation@gmail.com. That's
okay.
aviationinthenation@gmail.com. You can also reach us, Sister Kai, at 313-422-3731. That's 313-422-3731.
He can also reach me on 917-272-8852. Once again, that's 917-272-8852. And Twitter,
okay,
we're at Twitter account.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
We're on Twitter as well, which you can follow us at Twitter at Aviation Nations. As well as Aviation in the Nation, and you can friend book us on Facebook at Aviation in the Nation MUI. So either way you want to contact us, we will definitely return your phone call and get in contact with you and make it happen in your city or country.
Yes, ma'am.
Or island.
Yes. Oh. I love it. And listeners and callers, remember that what the team does. You know, when you express your interest, they're gonna look into, as Sister Celestine just mentioned, they're gonna look at what's available in your area to maximize the experience that the children have, and I find that to be really innovative, as a teaching tool. I think to take children and actually let them experience first through the simulator what it feels like to land the plane. I mean, that has to be exhilarating because it's so result oriented. You know, you've actually achieved something. You've gone from point A to point B versus just sitting around at Starbucks. You know,
right, right.
And I think that's important that we transfer out of where white people have us in this sort of non-result, no man's land.
Right.
You know, we get all these degrees and have all this intellectual
right.
discourse, and we're still at the bottom of the barrel, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know
that. Go ahead. Now, Sister Ava, I would like to point out that the science and the math that's behind the field of aviation are all the things that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Masrurat Muhammad, have prepared us for. As I was looking up some of the standards, just some of the state standards for the city of Phoenix, because we have to do those. Some of the students may need to be pulled out of school for the Friday. So I can post a letter for the parents so they'll know some of the things that they're going to learn in this program. They can have those or chart it up as a worksheet, or they'll get credit for that for missing class. We cover so much. Brother Doyle is one of our presenting presenters. He was an aircraft engineer. They downgraded him from engineer, took the title of engineer to aircraft mechanic now. So he doesn't have to get paid the money that an engineer will make. That's so important and key as we're teaching our babies to go into certain fields, because they have to understand the math behind this. They have to understand the science behind it as well. So the math and science that are involved in aviation is really applied, because as a pilot, Brother Donald, Brother Jamal, and we even have two flight attendants, Sister Jennifer Muhammad from Arizona and Sister Belinda from Atlanta, who are on the team as well. They cover so much.
Awesome.
They cover so much the day-to-day and dealing with people. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine. I'd
like to point out that Sister Jennifer actually works for U.S. Airways. Is actually a flight attendant who is an MGT. And who has, in her negotiating and taking that job at that particular company, she must have her hair covered. She has to have her hair covered. So we have the first
on,
MGT
listen,
at U.S. Airways wearing a TAM to go with her flight attendant uniform. And she wears it well. She wears it well. So there's a lot involved in the preparation of this, and we think wholeheartedly for the student. And our focal age group is from 4 years old to up to 17 years old. So we have to cover a large dynamic and a large intellectual capacity, if you understand, because a four-year-old to sit through a three-day workshop, we have to make it engaging.
That's right.
So
that's
I just
right.
wanted to point that out, ma'am, to the parents, you know, who say, well, my baby may not like this. It's not for them. Don't know.
I that's that to me is so, that's inconceivable.
These babies were made for the Messiah, not for... They were made for the Messiah, and that's what we're dealing with now, Messianic babies who are ready to take their rightful position.
That's right. And how do we know what our child is? Oh, I don't want to go down that road. Oh, my God. But, you know, to be an effective parent or teacher, we have to have some measure of prophetic power, because even if all we have is the knowledge that we don't know, okay, we could even roll with that, the characteristic of humility, and realize that this four-year-old is being prepared for a world that does not exist right now.
Right.
So how are you going to say, you know, how am I going to say, and I have to learn this even with my own children, because you got to resist the urge to live through them, you know, to dive into their body and be them, and to separate what you want for them from what Allah created them to do and what they want. And
right.
and part of that is exposing them to as much as possible.
Right.
So that
That's
they come across some evidence of that thing. Because remember, the minister said all he ever wanted in life was to make black people happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because black people were so sad and in such horrific conditions, but he thought that he would do that through entertainment.
Right, right.
You know, and that was true on a superficial level, but when he met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when his uncle introduced him to the teachings by inviting him out, he was, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's why this is so important, that our children hear about and learn about aviation. I'm loving this. See, so we have, we're going to try to get a couple more callers in. We've got Sister Tanya calling right here from 773. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Tanya.
Yeah. Wa alaikum salam. I just wanted to call and share. I actually am in the aviation industry. I've been a flight attendant for 10 years now. And I just wanted to bear witness to a few of the things that I heard Brother Donald saying. First and foremost, I really do believe that careers in aviation help put the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in perspective. Because, you know, we're taught that we are the Asiatic black man, but until you actually get out there and see the world, it's not real. It doesn't fully solidify. It doesn't totally come together until you have the opportunity to really get out there and have these varied experiences. And I'm so blessed that, you know, Allah has made it possible for me to see so many different places and to connect with our people in so many different parts of the world. And I think it's beautiful. I'm very excited to hear that aviation in the nation is something that we have going and that we're encouraging our children to become a part of the industry, because I have to admit that I have taken my career for granted. And it's crazy because as I go out and I'm in my uniform, people treat me like a superstar. And I'm like, okay, I'm just a flight attendant. It's really not that big of a deal. But I better understand now what my doing this represents to our people. And I have learned to become much more humble and appreciative. So I just wanted to share those few words. And, again, I think it's wonderful. And thank you so much, Brother Donald and Brother Jamal. And I believe Sister Jennifer was mentioned. I know her. She was actually a lead instructor of mine. And Sister Belinda, I'm not familiar with her, but, yes, I do know Sister Jennifer. So that's wonderful that she's a part of the team as well. So assalamu alaikum.
Well, wow, Sister Tanya, you're blowing my mind. That was so beautiful and enlightening. See, did you what she just said about, well, several things. Number one, the exposure you get to humanity.
Right.
And that's the thing I love about flying. Like I said, I'm a scare flyer, but I love it because even in airports, Brother Flight Lieutenant Terrence, you know this. Because you stay on plane. I mean, you see some of everything in airports.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Oh, I mean, it's...
Okay, there we go again. She was getting ready to
drop. Okay,
talk to
me.
You back. Okay, there you go. And she's back.
The flight attendant, because the pilot is in the cockpit, you don't see them until the end of the flight. My mother used to make a point when she would knock on the door to look at the pilot because she said, I want to make sure they're not suicidal or drunk or anything.
Yes,
I'm serious. I am so serious. But the flight attendant, and see, they are not waitresses. All right, they are scientists. They,
right.
You know, they are very skilled. They're trained in safety, dealing with emergencies, et cetera. But I'm going to say this real quick. I got to share this with you all. We were on a flight years ago. My husband and I were on our way to some island for vacation, and we had a stop in Puerto Rico. So that particular day, flying from Chicago, it was the turbulence was unbelievable. And it was a wide body jet. I think it was a DC-10. But anyway, this thing was making so much noise. I thought it was going to come apart. Okay. So I got up. I was like somebody with attention deficit. I was like, I can't sit here. I got to walk. Okay. And they got the seat belt. So the flight attendant, she's like, ma'am, okay. You cannot do this. I said, well, I'm not going to just sit there and die. Okay. she walked me over to the little galley, you know, with the coffee and all this. She said, look at me. Look at me. I said, okay. And she said, do I look like I want to die? Do I? I said, no, you don't. And she said, if something goes down that I think is beyond our control, when I look crazy, then you are authorized to go crazy. And it worked. It worked. I went, and my husband was like, you know, you really need to come out of it, okay? Because he's sitting there looking at me, like just shaking his head. But the point is, the flight attendant is so critical to the experience.
I got a story too, but I got a story too.
Yes, sir.
I was on a crop duster flying from Detroit to Lansing, Michigan.
Oh my God!
I call it a crop duster. I can count the chickens on the ground. This is anyway. But there were screws coming out of where the engine is attached to the plane, where there's some screws that had come out and some oil coming out, and then there was fuel on the wing. So I asked the flight attendant. I said, "Excuse me, is that normal?" And she kicked. She said, "I'll be right back here." She said, "Oh, it's no problem. It's no problem. It's okay." Okay.
I stayed on the plane, but anyway, you know, that's one of my stories.
Dr. Ava, that was one of the doc's special stories, and that was a and that was a special moment. But I did want to jump back. I did want to jump back, and I hope Sister Tanya does, and she'll let me know. She'll check me later. But I really appreciate her for all that she does. And I'm saying this, that, you know, there's a lot of brothers and sisters that work in different fields throughout our nation, whether it be hotels, airlines, or whatever. And because they're in place and they qualify themselves to be in place, it helps other believers and it helps other people. Yeah, brothers like me. To do the things that we do for the minister. But also, when I look at Brother Donald and I look at Sister Tanya, I look at Brother Jamal, the quality of their spirit and the service that they give to our nation is of a high quality. So when you're in a professional field, you bring that into our bodies and you bring that professional demeanor, that professional decorum. Because when I met Brother Donald and I met Brother Jamal, we was working a particular detail, and it wasn't, you know, dealing with no pilot. But then the reality, when I learned that there was pilots, it blew my mind, you know, that they was of that high quality, but they were just good brothers. And they were very attentive and skilled in what we was doing that was of a critical nature. And then just the thing that Sister Tanya talked about, the beauty of having the ability to go and travel is a beautiful thing. I learned that early in the nation. And I tell people, I have experienced it in my later years, but my first experience of fine dining was in the mosque after the lecture, when the MGT prepared a spread and I got to sit down at the dinner table with my local minister. The first time I started traveling as much as I'm traveling is because I followed the minister. You're exposed to more people, you're exposed to more culture, you're exposed to more things. And as we recently know, I went to Jamaica because of the minister. And I think the thing that Sister Tanya says, that you're able to see other human beings, not just black people, but you're able to explore and see other cultures and other realities, which is a beautiful thing as we're talking about flight aviation, just to travel the world or just to see new realities.
And, you know, the minister is probably he's the only spiritual leader I know of, and this is, again, matches up the characteristics of the Jesus of the Bible, who was prophetic, not historic. He's the only one whose followers literally follow him everywhere.
teach.
Woo. You know, and people go places they've never thought. Right. I've been to cities I had zero desire to go to.
Right, and literally.
But you go and you learn. You learn.
Yes.
You know, and you are enlightened. And Sister Tanya, that's a huge diamond you dropped in this whole treasure of tonight, that we underestimate a lot of times what we're doing because we're the ones doing it. And we're on the inside, you know, looking out, and we're not necessarily aware. See, you know, just as a black flight attendant, like, you know, one of the main reasons we fly Delta so much, we used to fly it all the time, of course, when we were in Atlanta. But those Atlanta flight crews often are black. They're often all black.
Right.
You know, and my husband tells them, he's like, yeah, this is the bomb, you know, flying with y'all. So, you know, and so trust and believe, you are a superstar, Sister Tanya. You know, I can tell you when passengers see you. And then even for white people, it's jarring. See,
yes,
because
it
goes against the stereotype.
Especially when I begin to do my announcements, and then they'll stop me afterwards and say, oh, you're so well-spoken. And I'm tempted to be catty and say, oh, what do you mean by that? But I already know where they're going.
Right. Is there, we didn't know Negroes could talk like that.
Right.
You know, but really, just think about it. You're that's part of engaging in the fight. Because the minister said it. He said that the response to racism is black excellence. They, It doesn't matter how people feel about you emotionally. They have to respect you when you are excellent. But thank you so much, Sister Tanya. That was a great call. And Sister Celestine, Sister Kaya, I want you to jump in at any time. Well, we're down to 5 minutes. We have just yelled. I have to say this, though. In the film, in Selma, there's a scene. There's several scenes between Martin Luther King and President Lyndon Johnson. And you see exactly what we're talking about, where excellence subdues racism. And Martin Luther King is really, they get into a dispute or debate over whose job it is to handle the people. And Johnson's asking King to call this Selma march off, and King is saying to Johnson, if you would sign this civil rights legislation, we wouldn't have to have this march, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're going back and forth, and he says, well, you're the activist and blah. He said, let me tell you something. I am an Atlanta preacher. You are the president of the United States. You could resolve all of this conflict with the stroke of a pen. And he told him, he said, every day that you delay in this, you are destroying your own legacy. And I'm looking at this, I'm saying, and this brother was 36 years old.
Right.
At the time.
Right.
You know, and so it's all about knowing who you are and moving out on who you are and not letting anybody or anything stop you, even if it means, because what you see in that film is people who have decided they're ready to lay their lives down.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them are young. And some of them did lose their lives.
Right.
You know, so the least we could do is get up and move this thing forward.
That's right.
Sister Dr. Ava?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
I do have the Twitter 2.0 teachings, if we can end with a quote from the Honorable Miss Rose Farrakhan.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
It says here, it is becoming of your students to aspire to be a student minister. Or wait on a line. Is it becoming of one of your students to aspire to be a student minister or wait on a line? His response is, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, whatever you love to do and do best is more than likely what you were born to do. Never sit around. Look for the help of God to refine your gifts and put your gift before the world. For God's glory. Now, with that being said, in Aviation in the Nation, we do have a historical moment. I don't know if it's historical. It is historical for the Nation of Islam. I don't know if it is the first. Sister Jennifer, who is a flight attendant from Arizona, and Brother Jamal, who's a pilot from Arizona, they were actually put on the same flight. This is November the 26th. And November the 27th of 2014. So, Brother Tian, as you were opening us up to 2015, as we closed out our first 6 months of Aviation in the Nation, we got that historical fact. Two of Muhammad, the Nation of Islam Muhammad, were on the same flight at the same time.
Whoa.
So, with that being said, when we put these things together and we go out and we conquer those fears of, oh, I can't do it, I can't do this, oh, no one's going to support me, just do it.
That's right.
Because that could have very well been and probably is the very first flight that two Muhammads will be together, but it's not to say that there will be the last of the Nation of Islam, of us having a flight full of Muhammad. So with that said, I want to thank you all again.
Yes,
it's been a blessing. Thank you so much.
Well, we're headed off the air, but look, Aviation in the Nation, as Mr. T would say, I pity the fool, can't remember that.
I pity the fool.
So I'm expecting them to be deluged with calls. Y'all, every may Allah bless all of us with a beautiful 2015 and make us strong to stand with the most awesome black man on the planet. It is Bruce Farrakhan. Love you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.